Baruch HaMaboyim, everybody. Welcome to the Shir Parsha Insights. Be'ezus Hashem, it will be a good Gishmak, a warm Shir, to take care of what we just mentioned. And Be'ezus Hashem, we say that there are many reasons we give the Shir, to teach Torah, to learn, to be inspired, but especially so that on Shabbos Kodesh, when we're able to come together, we'll share some of the Divrei Torah to enhance our Kiddush HaShabbos. So once again, Baruch HaMaboyim to all those that are here in the Heichal on the phone that will hear the recording. Parshas Lech Lecha, Parsha Insights. Be'ezus Hashem, tonight we're going to do six different Divrei Torah Pshatim of all types on Parshas Lech Lecha, and hopefully you'll find inspiration from them all. I'd like to do it in order, so take a look in the Parsha. The first Pasuk tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzicha u'mivladicha mi'beis avicha. He was told, Avram was told, of course being his first test, that he should leave, or one of the tests, he should leave the home, his land, he should leave that place of his birthplace, meaning his relatives, and then his father's house. I realize that the question that we're opening up with is a well-known question. It's a famous question, probably asked many, many times, but the first of the six pshatim for tonight is going to be from the Al Shech HaKadosh. Imagine a beautiful pshat from the Heilige Al Shech HaKadosh. The well-known question, if you take a look at the order, we should be struck by the fact that the order is an unusual order. It seems to be almost, if you will, out of order. When a person is told to leave, if I would tell somebody right here that I want you to leave, the first place you leave is your home. And then afterwards you leave the city, and afterwards you'll leave the country. That's the natural progression and order of where you leave. First your home, and then the city, and then the country. And yet the order is clearly, seems to be just the opposite. First Avram is told to leave me'artzicha, let's say the country, and then mi'mayladitcha, the place of his birth, perhaps his city, u'mibeis avicha, and then his father's home. Why is it that the order is this way? It should have been, as we said a moment ago, first leave your home, then leave your city, and then leave your country. Listen to a myridik pshat from the Al Shech HaKadosh. Really, if we wanted to spend the entire shir on it, we would certainly be able to, but we have to cover a number of pshatim. The Al Shech tells us, we understand the pasuk to mean that Avram was told to take leave of Or Kasdim, and physically he should remove himself from this place, and this place, and this place, in a physical sense. Says the Heilige Al Shech HaKadosh, besides being told to remove himself physically, Avram Avinu is being told in a spiritual sense, which is obviously much more difficult than the physical sense, to remove himself from the society that he grew up in. In other words, to work on completely forgetting and erasing any of the trace of where he came from, his native land, his birthplace, his father's house, the pagan culture that they represented. So we always understood this opening passage to mean that he was being told to leave in a physical sense, and that's true, but besides in a physical sense, he was being told, and as I said a moment ago, it may very well be an even more difficult challenge, leave in a spiritual sense. There was idol worshiping. There was a pagan culture. Leave that behind. Forget it. To go ahead and to erase any trace of it from the consciousness, that's very difficult. However, says the Al Shech HaKadosh, when you are leaving a place physically, you're right. The physical order should have been just the reverse. Because physically, you first walk out of your home, then you walk out of your city, and then you finally leave your country. But when you have to leave much of this, in a spiritual sense, the pagan culture and the society and everything that you grew up with, there the order is just the opposite. There the priority is very different. In other words, that which you went ahead and formed in your earliest childhood, like we say, gifts of the Yankasa, that which you forged in your home environment, that's the most deeply rooted, that's the hardest to eradicate. The male of the pasuk is saying that Hashem told Avram, Lech Lecha, I want you to leave in a spiritual sense. You're about to take a journey. Leave very much of what you had seen in your childhood. Now, in terms of a challenge, the easiest of the three would be to leave the country, and then would be to leave the city, but the most difficult of the three would be to leave that which he grew up with in his home. Because what a person has in their own home environment from father and mother is often the most deeply rooted and the most difficult to eradicate. So says the Heilige Alsha HaKadosh, the order is precisely when you remove something to create a spiritual existence and you have to get rid of all the negative, the order is precisely from that which is hard, then that which is harder, and finally that which is most difficult. Which is most difficult? To eradicate and uproot that which you had in Beis Avicha, because that has the longest lasting impression on a person. I think that before we carry on to the second pshat, when I saw the words of the Alsha HaKadosh, it made me realize the famous Gemara, Daf Yomi had it not so long ago, that the way a child speaks in the market, it comes either from the father or from the mother. The chinuch and the lessons that are in the home, a person doesn't have a right, they're going to start wondering that they want the child to only speak in a beautifully pristine way. But what is it that they hear at the dinner table that a husband's saying to a wife? They're talking at the table and they're knocking one of the rabbeim or one of the teachers. That which is forged and that which becomes rooted and the girsa, the yankisa, is something that a child, you know how often the next generation, a child or a grandchild, will think back, I remember the way a grandparent used to daven. The way that a grandmother, perhaps by lichbenchen, would shed tears when she says the words, v'zakeinu l'dav el bonim. Of course, the alshich means that when you're uprooting something in a spiritual sense, from the negative, the most difficult is from the home environment. But what we're extrapolating from the alshich is, we see you cannot minimize the power of that which a child sees in the home of the parent. 30, 40, 50 years, generations from now, there may be a lot of physical things that are forgotten. There may be a lot of things that are forgotten from friends or from cities or from countries. But what you see by father, what you see by mother, what you mamish grow up with is so entrenched and ingrained and rooted in the DNA that we push it, owe it to our children, to our families, to make it something that's positively remembered. Let's take a look a little bit later on in the pasuk, towards the end, that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to take you now to a land, El Aretz Asher Areka. It's going to be a land that I'm going to show you. We know Chazal tell us, which land was this? This was Eretz Yisrael. There's a beautiful pshat brought down on the Sefer I'm holding up right now, Tzair LaTeva, and I'd like to add something on what he brings down. In Tzair LaTeva, he says, Chazal tell us that when the pasuk says El Aretz Asher Areka, that he told Avraham to leave and go to the land that I'm going to show you. Which land was that? Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. So the Sefer Tzair LaTeva brings down an extraordinary gematria that the word Areka that I'm going to show you, when you spell out each letter as a word, how do you spell the word Areka? Aleph Resh, Aleph Chaf. Spell it out. Each letter as a word. In other words, the first one is Aleph, Aleph Lamed Fei. And the second letter is Resh, Resh Yud Shin. Spell each letter of Areka, Aleph Resh, Aleph Chaf, out as a word. If you add up the gematria of the letters that make up those words that you spell out from the Aleph, the Resh, again the next Aleph, and the last Chaf, which is spelled Chaf and En Pei, it's exactly 832. Eretz Yisrael is the exact gematria, 832. Is that Pile Ployim? The Sefer Tzair LaTeva brings down so beautifully, that's what Chazal mean. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Abraham, I'm going to show you this land. Which land was it? It was Eretz Yisrael. A beautiful hint and allusion, a remez to that is, because Eretz Yisrael has the exact gematria of 832. And if you add up the gematria of the letters when you spell out Aleph, Resh, Aleph, Chof, the letters of Areka, it's exactly 832. The one thing that I just want to bring to your attention before we go to the third pshat I was always wondering about this gematria. Why is it that in order to make this gematria work, if you're allowed to ask a question on a gematria, the way it happens is that you have to spell out together with the hidden letters, and only if you take each letter and include the hidden letters that make it up as a word, only then do you get the 832 of Eretz Yisrael. Maybe we could have come up with another word where the exact gematria of the letters that you see and the letters that are revealed and the letters that are present, they would add up to a gematria representing Eretz Yisrael. Why did it have to specifically be that you have a gematria that's Eretz Yisrael, but it has to include many of the hidden letters? Why? So I was thinking, Al Pidrush, homiletically, perhaps we could say, because sometimes we know, Chazal tell us, that one of the things that comes with difficulty is a person living in Eretz Yisrael. A person has to realize the beautiful, beautiful schus of living in Eretz Yisrael, even if it comes with challenges. So perhaps that's indicative that sometimes to bring out that beauty and to bring out all that you want, you have to dig a little bit deeper. In other words, it's not always that it's there for that which you see. Sometimes it's hidden. Sometimes you have to go a bit deeper. Sometimes you have to look and uncover. And that's true in life as well. Sometimes to bring out, we mentioned, I think it was last week, the chafarta, sometimes beauty is covered over, and you look, you uncover to bring out the beauty. I thought perhaps that's why we could say homiletically the gematria had to be from letters, that only if you include letters that are hidden does it actually add up to Eretz Yisrael, because sometimes to bring out the inherent beauty, to really maximize and fully utilize the potential of what's being offered to you, sometimes you have to dig deeper, sometimes you have to look, sometimes you have to uncover, sometimes you have to find that which isn't so easy, and through that, by working at it, it's not always so easy, you'll bring out the beauty, especially when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. Let's take a look at a third pshat. A little bit later on, we're still in the very beginning of the parsha. The next pasuk says, V'eschol agoy gadol, the pasuk continues, V'avarechecha v'agadla shemecha v'heye bracha. A very famous pshat, Rashi tells us, that this pasuk refers to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Let's read Rashi inside. Take a look at Rashi on the words v'heye bracha. Be looking inside. Take a look. Perek Yedbeis, pasuk Beis. The pasuk says, V'eschol agoy gadol, I'll make you a great nation. Zok Rashi, that's what we mean when we say in Shemoyne Esrei, Elikei Avraham. Then the pasuk says the word Vavarechacha. That's what we mean in Shemoyne Esrei when we say Elikei Yitzchak. Then the pasuk tells us, V'agadla Shemecha, I'll make your name great. That's what we mean in Shemoyne Esrei, Elikei Avraham. What are the last two words of the pasuk? The last two words of the pasuk are V'heye Bracha. Look at Rashi inside. Rashi says, Yachol Yiyu Chaisman Bekulan. You might think that you're going to end the bracha of Shemoyne Esrei with all of them, but we know we don't do that. How do we start Shemoyne Esrei? Every Shemoyne Esrei starts the same way. Elikei Avraham, Elikei Yitzchak, Velikei Yaakov, and then we say Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogein Avraham. We only end with Avraham, not Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that's exactly what Rashi says. Although we begin with Elokei Avraham and Elokei Yitzchak and Elokei Yaakov, you might think that that bracha should end with all of them. Talmud Leimer, therefore the pasuk says, V'heyei bracha, you will be a blessing. Becha chaisman, with you, Avraham, will the bracha conclude v'loi bahem. And as I said a moment ago, isn't that every Shemoneh Esrei? Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, V'Elokei Yaakov. And how does every Shemoneh Esrei then have the bracha conclude? Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham. As Rashi says, the words V'heyei bracha, you will be a blessing, teach us that what? You might think Chaisman Bekulon, that you'll end the bracha. Chasima means the end of the bracha with all of them. And the Rashi concludes, Becha Chaisman, with you, meaning with you, Avraham, will be the chasima, the closing of the bracha. There is an extraordinary pshat from the Kotzker Rebbe. The Heilige Kotzker Rebbe Zechusa Yagan Aleinu says, such a beautiful, beautiful pshat. There's another way to understand Rashi. Rashi ended with the words telling us, you might think, Chaisman Bekulon, a reference to that bracha in Shemoneh Esrei that you'll end with all three, but b'chochais, and we only end by saying, Elokei Avraham, says the Kotzker Rebbe so beautifully. We know that each one of the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, represent one of the Midos that we speak about. In Pirkei Avos, it says, the world stands on three pillars, Hashlosh Advar Ma'olam Aymed, Torah, Avoida, and Gemilas Chasadim. Take a look, we know that Avraham was, of course, the pillar of Chesed, Vayita Eshel. We know that Yitzchok represented Avoida. He himself was going to be a Karban to Hashem through the Akedah. And Yaakov, of course, represents Torah. How do we know Yaakov represents Torah? Because Yosef, Aiholim, he was in the tent of Torah. So, Rabbi, I look at this for a moment. Avraham is the pillar of Chesed. Yitzchok is the pillar of Avoida. Yaakov is the pillar of Torah. Now let me ask you, says the Kotzker Rebbe, when we're looking now to bring Mashiach, when we're mamish by the footsteps of Mashiach coming, the Kotzker Rebbe wants to know, before Mashiach comes, which pillar of those is it going to be? The Navi Yeshaya tells us in Perek Al Pasuk Chav Zayin, Tziyon b'mishpati padeh v'shaveha b'tztaka. V'shaveha b'tztaka means we're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael that I spoke to you about 5 moments ago. We're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, v'shaveha b'tztaka. In other words, which is it going to be? Torah? Avoida? Or Gemilas Chasadim? What does the Navi Yeshaya tell us at the end of the first parak? V'shaveha, what's going to return us to the Gula Shalem and the final redemption in Eretz Yisrael? Tzedakah. Tzedakah means Gemilas Chasadim, more than the other two. Oh, he says the Kotzker Rebbe so beautifully. Look over here, Rabbi Yisai. The word Chasima doesn't only have to mean the end of the Brach of Shemoneh Esrei. Chasima means what's going to bring a conclusion to this funereal Gullus. What's going to bring a Chasima, an end to this Gullus, and herald in the Gula Shalema? Says Rashi, Yocho Yiyu Chosmin Bekulon. You might think, and you're going to wonder, what's going to bring the Chasima? What's going to bring the Gula Shalema? What's going to bring the Chasima, the closure, to this long funereal Gullus? Which is it going to be? Avraham, Yitzchak, or Yaakov? Zachar Rashi, Becha Chosmin. Avraham Avinu, Becha. Becha, with your Midah. Which Midah? With your Midah of Chesed. Chosmin. That's going to bring about the Chasima to this Golos and bring about the Gula Shalema, as the Navi Yeshaya tells us, Vishaveha Bitztaka. Say that Rashi over on Shabbat. Say it over with that Pshat from the Kotzker Rebbe. Beyond, such a beautiful Pshat. Becha, with you, Avram, and your Midah, which is your Midah Chesed, Chosmin. You're going to bring the Chasima, you're going to bring closure to this long and bitter Golos. This past Shabbos, we spoke in great deal about Parshas Noach, Oilam Chesed Yibana, how it was the Chesed that Noach and his family performed with the animals, a world that was destroyed, a world that was allowed to be recreated and re-exist because of one thing, the chesed that was done. That's the pshat, oilam chesed yibana. Not only that chesed is what keeps a natural society functioning properly, but chesed is so powerful that it brings a world to creation. It allows a world to exist once again. It's that midah of Avram Avinu, the midah of chesed, v'shaveha b'staka, chosmin. It is going to bring the chasima to the Golus. Pshat number four, we get into a story that really is a difficult story. It's a reference to the fighting between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avram. Take a look in the Pasuk inside Yud Gimel Vav. Look at Pasuk Yud Gimel Vav inside. The Pasuk tells us Before the actual fight, before the actual quarreling. The quarreling takes place in Pasuk Zion. Take a look, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Vav. Let's read it together inside. You have over here the land, and you have the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avram. And what does the Pasuk tells us? The land didn't allow them to dwell together, couldn't support them together. In other words, there was fighting, and we'll see in a moment about the fighting. The Pasuk says, Ki hayu rechusham rav, they had a tremendous amount of possessions. Their possessions were abundant. And then the Pasuk says, V'lo yachlu l'sheves yachdav, they couldn't dwell together. Rabbeisai, why are those same words repeated again? If you're looking at the Pasuk inside, you should mamish be jumping. Mamish jumping with the power of that question. Let's read the Pasuk inside again. V'lo nasa oisam ha'aretz l'sheves, the land couldn't support them. They couldn't dwell together. And then what does the Pasuk conclude? V'lo yachlu l'sheves yachtav, they couldn't go ahead and dwell together. But that's saying essentially the same thing twice. Did I not just read in this Pasuk the same thing twice? This kasha is asked by the Meshech Chochma. The Heilige Meshech Chochma, Reb Meir Simcha HaKoyein. Zeche Tzadik V'Kodesh Levrocha, the Meshech Chochma asks this kasha. He wants to know, why does the Pasuk seemingly repeat itself when it says a second time, V'lo Yochlu L'Sheves Yachtav? If you look at it inside, you'll enjoy the question even more. It says, Reb Meir Simcha HaKoyein is teaching us a sad reality about human nature. A sad reality about human nature. When people have a machloikas and they quarrel, the machloikas and that dispute is generally triggered by some type of dispute, a disagreement. Each one of the two parties are fighting for what they perceive as their rightful position. You have two people that are in a machloikas. They're quarreling, but it begins by each one of the two feeling that their position, and they perceive their position, is right. But then you see, Rabbi Isai, as that machlekes, as that conflict begins to expand, all of a sudden the flames of hatred and the flames of their passion and their fighting, all of a sudden it starts to engulf them, it starts to take over, and they don't even remember what was the reason for their original dispute. Hey, how did this machlokes start in the first place? How did this quarrel and this dispute start in the first place? All of a sudden, they're no longer fighting for what they perceive as justice. We're all in the heichal smiling and smirking because we know it's true. That's why we're smiling and smirking. They're no longer fighting for what they perceive as true. They're fighting now because they want to quarrel for the sake of fighting. They don't even remember the reason for their dispute. It carries on to the children, carries on to the grandchildren. Ask two generations later, do you know what the fight was about? They don't even have a clue. They don't even remember what gave rise to the cause. That's the pshat, by the way, in the words, sinas chinam. Sinas chinam means hating and hostility without a cause. Why is it without a cause? Because when the machlokes and when the quarreling started, it was for a reason. They remember the reason. But a month later, 6 months later, they're just fighting and quarreling because they're bitter enemies. They don't even remember the reason for it. The children don't know. The spouses don't know. The Eidikos don't know. They just know one thing. We're supposed to fight. We're supposed to quarrel. We're supposed to be in a machlokes. We don't even remember. That's just sinas chinam. It's hatred and it's quarreling and hostility chinam for free. There's no cause. We don't even remember how it started. Zokter Meir Simcha HaKayin, that's what the Pasuk is teaching us. Look inside as we jump along together. The Pasuk says, V'loi nasa ha'aretz, oisam ha'aretz, l'sheves yachtav. It started that the quarrel was the land couldn't support them dwelling together. But it started with a reason. What are the next few words of the Pasuk? Ki haya rechusham rav. Because there was a tremendous amount of wealth. The wealth was great. So when it started for a reason. This one claiming this, and this one claiming that, and each one perceiving they had the rightful position. So the first time the Pasuk says, that the land couldn't support both sides, it's giving you a reason of how the quarrel and the machleika started, ki haya rechusham rav. But afterwards, in the end, the arguing and the fighting continued to the point that Pasuk says, v'lo yachlu l'sheves yachtav, they couldn't dwell together, but for no apparent reason at all, not even remembering the original reason that rechusham rav. It reads so beautifully, so elegantly and magnificently into the Pasuk. The first time the Pasuk says they couldn't dwell together, it gives a reason. Because when the machlokes and when the quarrel started, it was with what each one perceived as their right position. But then it continued, and continued, and continued. And now they were fighting just for the sake of fighting. Isn't the point we're supposed to go ahead and fight and quarrel? We don't even remember how this originally started. And that's indicated by the Pasuk saying the second time, they couldn't live together. They were quarreling, bickering, machlokes, and fighting. You know why no reason is given? Because at this point, the reason was all but forgotten. The reason no longer existed. The reason wasn't even there. They just knew we're supposed to continue the fight. We're smiling and we're thinking about this pshat from Meir Simcha Kayin, how true those words are. The next pshat, pshat number 5, has to deal with the argument, but it has to do with the next pasuk. The next pasuk tells us that they fought. There was this quarrel that we just spoke about for the last 10 minutes between the shepherds of Avram cattle and the shepherds of Lot's cattle. Listen to the fifth shot from the great Maggid, Reb Yaakov Galinsky. He says such a powerful pshat, and I say this, like we said earlier about the Al-Sheikh, if we wanted to spend the entire shir just on this pshat from the great Maggid of Yaakov Galinsky, we could probably talk about the following concept that we're going to speak about, me'es la'es, without taking a break. That's how true and powerful it is. The pasuk that we just quoted says that there was fighting and quarreling between the shepherds, the herdsmen of Lot, and those of Avram. Rashi says, what was the argument about? The Royim of Lot were Rishayim, they were wicked. They would graze their cattle in the fields of others, and the shepherds of Avram would give them Musar. That's stealing. You can't do that, it's stealing. That's what the well-known Machlekos was about. They were wicked because they pastured their animals in fields belonging to others, and so the shepherds and the herdsmen of Avram rebuked them for stealing. Avram says in the next pasuk, the pasuk tells us that Avram says, pasuk ches, he told Lot, I don't want there to be machlekas between us, between our herdsmen, we're family. And that's when the suggestion was made, you go one way, I'll go another way. There's a very powerful statement from the Rabbeinu Yosef. Listen to what the Rabbeinu Yosef says on this advice that Avram Avinu gave, Perek Yud-Gimel, Pasuk Ches, I don't want there to be perceived fighting between us and between the herdsmen, and let's therefore separate. Says Rabbeinu Yosef, Avram was saying that this is going to be a disgrace. I don't want it to be a Chil Hashem. Because people are going to see this, and they're going to see my shepherds and your shepherds, and they're going to say, they're fighting, they can't get along with each other, they're only quarreling. And if that's how family treats each other, then how are others going to treat each other? And people are going to say about us, they're evil. Meaning about us, they're going to say they're evil. Azei Zokir Rabbeinu Yosef comes along Reb Yaakov Galinsky and he says, I don't understand those words. How could it possibly be? Open up your hearts to this chat. How could it possibly be that anybody who witnessed the quarrel that I just spoke about, Rashi gave us the reason for the machlokes. Avraham Avinu was so concerned about Kil Hashem because of the disagreement with Lot and with the herdsmen of Lot. But anybody who knew that they were fighting would also be familiar with the Rashi and would know why they're fighting. They would know that the reason that they're fighting is because the shepherds and herdsmen of Lot did something terrible. They were stealing. So if anybody hears the report that they're fighting, they'll hear why there was fighting. They'll know that Avram and his shepherds are not at all at fault. Everybody knows that the Rashi tells us in Bereishis Chof Dalet Yud that when Avram had camels, they went out muzzled. You hear that? The camels went out muzzled. Why? To prevent robbery. They would know that Lloyd was being rebuked for stealing. So if people find out that there was a machlekes, they'll know why there was a machlekes. So why would they point to Avram Avinu and his family and say they're evil? And more than that, everybody knew Avram Avinu. We just said 10 minutes ago on the word B'choch Chaisman, Avram was the epitome of chesed. Everybody knew Vayital Eshel, he had an open home, he had an open for all the travelers, they were always given free meals. How many sides was his tent open from? From four sides. He would run out to greet the Arachim, we're going to read about that in Parshas Vayera, how he treated them. So, Professor Yaakov Galinsky, what does Rabbeinu Yosef mean that people are going to see this and they're going to say about Avram and his family, they're evil? Why are they going to be called evil? Anybody who hears about the Machlaikas will also know the behind the scenes. The reason why there was a Machlaikas is because Lloyd's herdsmen were doing something wrong. They were stealing. They were grazing in fields that they shouldn't be. Everybody will know that Lloyd and his people are at fault. Besides, everybody knows about Avram Avinu, the chesed, the Vayita Eshel, the way he had his home open from all four sides, the way we'll read in Parshas Vayera, that he fed the meal. So what does the Rabbeinu Yosef mean that if people hear this, it's going to be a disgrace? They'll say, why are they fighting their evil? Why are they going to deduce that? They'll have every rhyme and reason in front of them to know that's not true. Lloyd started it, his herdsmen started it, it was their fault, and Avram is a paradigm of chesed. So why would a person draw different conclusions? Dr. Yaakov Galinsky. Because that's the way of the world. The way of the world is that people will jump on one bad point, even if it's not true, and ignore all the good qualities that a person has. Oy vey, the power of that pshat. How many times have we mentioned the sign in the barbershop that said, when I do something right, no one remembers. When I do something wrong, nobody forgets. Ze lo nice. Ze lo nice. It's a bad midah. Zokter Yaakov Galinsky. You could know the reason for the fight. You could know Lloyd was at fault. You could know that Avram is a paradigm of chesed. You could know Becha Chaisman. You could know it all. And yet what do? You jump on the one negative. You jump on the one bad. You jump on the one thing that I just heard, why there's a machlokes, and I heard they were arguing, and I heard they were arguing. If they were arguing, it must be. And the person went, you could jump on the one negative, the one bad. Somebody is perhaps not well or needs to be called, and somebody calls them 10, 12, 13 times. And maybe one time forgot to make the phone call. All you do is you harp on the one time the call wasn't made. Zello nice. Somebody's there for you all the time to help you, to bring you somewhere for an invite, for a kind word. And they, for whatever the reason is, justified or unjustifiably, aren't there one particular time, and you only remember the negative? Zello nice. Zokter Yaakov Galinsky, that's the takeaway of the machloikas between Avraham's shepherds and Lloyd's. Even though there's every rhyme and reason in the world to properly understand who was wrong and who was right, but people will just hear that there's a machlekes, they'll start pointing fingers and they'll only remember the negative. You can't seize the negative. Maybe we should rewrite the sign in the barbershop. When somebody does something wrong, we'll work on forgetting. When someone does something right, I'll make sure to always remember. How about that sign in a barbershop? And finally, the sixth and final pshat is actually from the Daz Zakenim. It's such a beautiful, beautiful pshat to conclude with. And it talks about Avram fighting the battle. Four kings against five kings. Look inside very quickly. We'll conclude in 2 minutes. Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Yudalid. All of a sudden, we're beginning the war. Four kings and five kings. How many people did Avram go to battle with? I know you're looking at me because you know Rashi as well as I do. The Pasuk tells us that Avram Avinu goes out to war, and he goes out with those that were born in his house. 318 strong, the battle begins. Four kings against five kings. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi quotes the Gemara that tells us, Rabbeinu Amru, he didn't go out with 318 people. Take a look at Rashi. Eliezer, oh, you're reading it inside. Beautiful. Eliezer Levadai Haya. He went out with only Eliezer. And Zok Rashi of Gematria. Could you imagine earlier I gave the Gematria of Eretz Yisrael? This Gematria is found in Rashi. Rashi brings down Eliezer. Aleph, Lamed, Yud, Ayin, Zayin, Resh is the exact Gematria? 318. Zok Rashi, he didn't go out with 318 men. He went out with Eliezer. And we know that Zok Rashi because Eliezer has the same numeric value as 318. For the final pshat of Parsha Insights into Parshas Lech Lecha, and as I said when we started this year, I hope we got chizuk from all of them, but I hope that we'll say them over on Shabbos to enhance our Kedusha Shabbos. There are three questions that essentially the Dazakenu Mibali HaTosfos, and I have it here in front of me, and I invite you to look at it inside as well. There are three questions on the Rashi that we just said that essentially the Dazakenim asked. I don't understand. How many people did he, Avram, go out into battle with? It would seem like he went out, according to Rashi, with just one, Eliezer. But don't we know that the Gemara tells us, Ein Saimchen Al Hanes. The Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lama Test tells us, Ein Saimchen Al Hanes. You're not allowed to rely on a miracle. So if you're not allowed to rely on a miracle, then why did Avram go into battle against four tremendously great and strong armies with just one servant, Eliezer? Great kasha. Question number two. If Avram was going to rely on a miracle, then why did he take Eliezer? Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to perform an additional miracle to save Eliezer. If he's relying on a miracle, why didn't he go out himself? Why did he even take one person? Great question. And question number three, why doesn't the pasuk then just say outright he took Eliezer? Why does it imply 318 men went out with him, and we have to deduce with Rashi that it was one? Why doesn't the pasuk just say that? Three powerful, mayridika kashas. We'll quickly repeat them. Ein saimchen al hanes, you're not allowed to rely on a miracle. So how did he go out into battle with taking just Eliezer? Question number two. If he was relying on a miracle, then why did he bring Eliezer? And that was somebody else that had to be saved. And question number three, why does the pasuk lead us to believe that there were 318 people when he went out with only Eliezer? The Daz Zakenim essentially answers all three questions with one powerful answer. Although the Torah wasn't yet given, we know that Avram Avinu, his every action, his every move was dictated by the Torah Kedosh, by the ways of the Torah. We know that later on in Sefer Devarim, Pasha Shaitim, when there was going to be a war and a battle, the Kohen, Meshuach Melchamah, the one who prepared Klal Yisrael for battle, he got up to address the army. And we know Pasha Shaitim, what did he tell? Who's the one that started to build the home but didn't yet finish it? Go home, we don't want you to die in war. Who's the one that has a vineyard but didn't yet finish it? Go home, we don't want you to die in war. Who's the one that's engaged to a woman but didn't yet marry her? Go home. And what's, of course, the last one? Yari Verach HaLevav. Who's the one who has sin? Who's the one that is faint-hearted and he fears that his sin is going to make him worthy of death? Go home. We know that that's the way a Yid goes out into battle. That's what's mentioned in Parsha Shaitim. Avram Avinu, although the Torah wasn't given yet, he certainly kept the Torah. His every action was dictated by the ways of the Torah. That means he's now going into battle. But he's going into battle the way he knows that the Torah is going to dictate, which is what? If this is you, then you have to go home. A, B, C, and perhaps the one we know the best. You're fearful because of your sin? You have Aveira? You feel that you're not worthy? You have to go home because we don't want the person to die in war. That means only righteous people are going to be left to fight the battle. This is the way Avram. What a pshat! What a pshat! This is the way Avram in this week's Parsha went into battle. The way he knows the Torah says later on, you enter into battle. So now that answers all three questions. Really, when Avram Avinu went into battle, he started with 318 men. He started with 318 men. But then he got up and he abided by all the declarations that are prescribed by the Torah. This one go home, and this one go home, and this one go home. And if you're Yari Verach HaLevav, if you're involved in Chet, go home. Who remained? Only one person Eliezer. The reason Eliezer remained is because we know he was Doilu Mashkim Yitairis Rabu Lacherim. He drew from the wellspring of Avram and he taught it to others. Chazal say Eliezer was so great that he was a master over his own Yetzirah. He undoubtedly was extremely righteous. And that answers all three questions. Avram determined that only he and Eliezer have the proper requirements to be victorious. We answered. One question we asked was, why does the pasuk imply that he started with 318? The answer is, he did. He did. He did start with 318. But after mentioning all the declarations that are prescribed in the Torah, this group go home, and this group go home, and this group go home, only one was left. That also answers why he went out with Eliezer, because Eliezer was indeed righteous, as was Avram Avinu, and that's why he was worthy to go out into the war. We asked another question, Ein Soim Chanal Anes, don't rely on a miracle. He didn't start off relying on a miracle. He started off with 318. And therefore, when a person goes to battle the way the Torah tells you to, that's the only way Klal Yisrael wins. Because when this natural phenomenon is built into the creation, it means even if you're left with only two people against many kings and mighty nations, Klal Yisrael will be victorious. I want to conclude by reading you the words of the Daf Kanim. The Daf Kanim I just quoted says that Itaka started with all 318. But when hearing, Miha Isha Yare, if you have Aveira, if you have sin, you have to turn back and go back. Who was left? Just Eliezer. Omar Loi HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu. All the others went back. Why did they go back? Because based on the declaration, as the Torah prescribes, they're not worthy to go into battle. So the only one righteous to go with you is Eliezer. Eliezer is going to be equal to the 318. Rashi says, how do we know that? Because Eliezer is saying gematria. Meaning, says the Daf Kanim, and I quote, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chayecha. Chayecha, Rabbi Isai, is a lashon of shvua. Chayecha. Ani. Noisein koyach leEliezer kineged kulan. Azay zokta dazakeinim ibali atoisus. Ani noisein koyach leEliezer kineged kulan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give Eliezer the power and the strength equal to all 318. You started with 318. 317 had to go because of the reasons that we just mentioned. You're left with one, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chayecha, a lashon of a shvua. Ani noisein koyach leEliezer kineged kulam. I'm going to give Eliezer all of the power and all of the might and all the strength that you originally started with, and you will be victorious in battle. Because when you follow the Torah HaKadosha, when you follow what the Torah prescribes, when you follow the mandates that are dictated in the Torah, you come out a winner. You come out victorious. And the proof is that Zakenim says, because only one was left, extremely righteous, but his gematria and his name is 318, because Hashem said he will have the strength and the koyach and the ability to fight. And indeed, they came out victorious, because when you follow the Torah and you follow the mandates of exactly what the Torah prescribes, a person comes out a winner. And I hope, Be'ezras Hashem, we take all of the insights that we were able to learn tonight into Parsha Insights. And I hope that, Be'ezras Hashem, we're able to follow all that the Torah expects of us. And we're able to taka bizaycha to go back to that land, Eretz Asher Arecha, which sometimes hidden, but comes out to be Eretz Yisrael. B'chol Chosmin, I hope we're zeichet to see the Chasima here and now.